everybody. This is Amy Barnhart, co-founder of StrongMarriageNow.com, and I'm here with Dr. Dana.
Hey, everyone.
How's everybody doing today? Hope you are well. We are so glad you've joined us today on this call, and that's one of, and as you know, this is one of the many benefits of our special community membership. And first, what we're going to do today is cover the topic of the month for around 15 minutes, and after that, you get to personally talk to Dr. Dana and ask your question. I also want to let you know that the call is scheduled to last around an hour today, so we're going to get right to it. And we are so fortunate to have Dr. Dana with us today, given her busy practice and all of her media appearances. I don't know if you guys saw her on the Oprah Winfrey Network hit show, Unfaithful Stories of Betrayal, but it was awesome to see her there on national television. And if you didn't see it, you can check out a little short clip that we have posted on the site if you want to check it out. So let me tell you a little bit about today's topic. And first, the way I'm going to get into that is with a thought-provoking quote. And today's topic, by the way, is how to stop fighting. So the quote is, the couple that fights the most is the one most in love. It shows they care enough to notice that the other one screwed up and care enough to mention it to the other person so they can fix it. When you stop fighting, it means you stop caring. So it's definitely thought-provoking, and let's see what Dr. Dana's going to say about that. It's not exactly what we would teach. That's part of the reason why I wanted to throw it up there, just to sort of show a different point of view. Because while it's true that you should communicate openly and work through issues in a positive, constructive way, that's a lot of times easier said than done. Many of us just don't know how to work things out without letting things get out of control. And fighting in the wrong way can cause a lot of damage to your relationship. So today, Dr. Dana is going to teach us how to fight fair and build your love rather than tear it down. And after we cover the topic of the month, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your questions either via our webcast or directly talking to Dr. Dana. And as you may have heard me say on previous calls, this does not have to relate to the topic of the month. It can be any relationship question that's on your mind. And I'll cover the logistics for exactly how you're going to ask your question after Dr. Dana covers this month's topic. So now let me hand it over to my friend and business partner, Dr. Dana.
Thank you, Amy. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Dana, as she mentioned. I hope it sounds like you've been on speaker.
I think maybe I did. Sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. I hope everyone is enjoying this beautiful spring day, wherever you are. It's beautiful here in San Diego. So I'm excited to talk to you and answer some of your questions. I hope we'll be able to get to a lot of them today. And I'm going to be talking first about how to stop fighting. But also remember that your questions don't have to be about fighting in general. They can be about anything that you need help with. And as you mentioned, Amy's going to tell you a couple of ways to ask your question right before it's time. So for those of you who haven't been on the call before, she'll explain how to do that. So let's see. I always have to mention that it's a little bit easier to answer your question when I can speak with you directly. But there's also a way to write it in, too, and she'll tell you how to do that. So if you're not comfortable asking me or getting on the phone, that's totally fine. You can ask your question by writing it in. And so, and of course, I have to remind everyone that the call is being recorded and will be available for community members to listen to again. And I really encourage you guys to check out the past calls. People have asked us some really interesting questions over the many months that we've been doing this, and the answers just may apply to you. They may be exactly what you want to know. So, let's see. Oh, on to the terms of service. Right. I have to explain every month that by being on this call, you are agreeing to the terms of service. And they say that I am not agreeing to be your therapist at this time, and this isn't one-on-one counseling. I'm just giving you some helpful information, and I'm hopefully going to quickly answer as many of your questions as I can. So let's get started. The topic of the day, as we mentioned already, is how to stop fighting. For those of you who have the Strong Marriage Now system, you know what I say about fighting. I say, don't fight. It's destructive and a complete waste of time. So I get what that quote that Amy said meant. I understand what it was trying to mean, but I like to call it something other than fighting. Let's call it arguing, disagreeing, vehemently making your point, et cetera. We can call it all sorts of things. But fighting is about someone winning and someone losing. But really, we all know that when you fight, both people lose every time. So when I explain this to people, I sort of half-jokingly explain that never in the history of the ping-pong style of fighting, and that's the, here's my point, yeah, well, here's my point, or the, you did this, well, no, you did this first game, basically. Has anyone ever stopped in the middle and said, oh, you know, you're completely right. I was wrong, and I apologize. Never, never in the history of marriage has that happened. So basically the ping pong match, the back and forth, the you said and yeah, but you said and whatever, it's just how, it, and really it's honestly how most people fight. It's just a complete waste of time. So anyway, I also explain in the video on fighting that you guys, hopefully some of you have seen, that one of the reasons it's difficult for people to stop fighting is a bit counterintuitive, and that's this. Anger, being mad, feels good. It really does. It makes people feel righteous, you know, and invigorated, and even, you know, it ups their blood pressure, and they have energy, and they just feel like, ugh. But it also, it keeps us safe from acknowledging our true feelings, our real feelings. Because when we're angry, our true feelings, what we're really feeling is either hurt or scared, or both. Yeah, that's right. If you're mad, even you men out there, if you're mad, you're hurt or you're scared every time. And some people have a hard time accepting this one, but if you really think about it, if you ask yourself about the last time you were mad and you ask yourself that question, what was I hurt about? What was I mad about? I mean, excuse me, what was I scared about? You'll come up with the answer. And this matters for two reasons. One, it's really important to be honest with yourself about your true feelings so that you can express what's actually going on. In other words, like telling your partner that your feelings are hurt by what they just did, or that you got scared when they come home late or they do something like that, or it makes it far more likely that they're actually going to hear you and change their behavior, right? And that's what we want. That's technically, theoretically, what we want from a fight, right? We want them to not do that thing again, or listen to you, or do the thing you're asking, or whatever. We want some sort of change. So if you can actually express what you're truly feeling, you're far more likely to get that change in behavior that you're after. Yelling at them or calling them names, and by the way, just as a little side note, words like inconsiderate or lazy are still names. Just because they're not bad words doesn't mean that you're not calling somebody names. So just, anyway, yelling at people and calling them names, slamming doors, doing whatever, it makes it far more likely that they will not hear you, that they're going to put up their proverbial dukes, as it were, and start a fight, and their change and their behavior will never change. So knowing what your true feelings are and being able to express them is going to get you what you want. So that's the number one reason it's important. And it's so important to remember that anger stems from fear and pain. And the second reason is so that you can know what your partner is feeling and doing in any of these destructive, you know, these things I mentioned above, the slamming the doors and name-calling and so forth. You want to know what they're feeling because it's important that you know that they are really also in pain. If they're lashing out, they are in pain as well. And again, this matters because if you think that your partner is just mad, you know, and just, you know, stomping around, it's easy to defend yourself. It's easy to fight back or shut down. But if you know that they're hurting, well, you know, that will, or actually at least it should in a good relationship, take the wind right out of your sails, right? If you love somebody, if you love them and you know they're in pain, you know they're hurt or they're scared, you shouldn't want to fight. That's like kicking someone when they're down. So, you know, once I reveal to people, like, if somebody's mad, they're hurt, like, it really, theoretically, if you actually love somebody, it should make you think twice before you attack back. And it should hopefully get you to say what you're really feeling in the first place before you attack, so the fight never starts, excuse me. So, you know, a lot of people tell me that they can't control their anger, so they can't help but fight. And I call BS on this almost every time. It's really rarely true. For most people, honestly, just like our mood, whether we're in a good mood or bad mood, our anger is our choice. It's completely up to us. It's not something that happens to us. We're not a victim of it. It's something that we create and we fuel, and we build it or we can calm it down. So, I really encourage you guys to take responsibility for your anger, and honestly choose to never fight, I say in quotation marks, again, to never have that win or lose kind of confrontation. On a side note, if in fact you actually feel that you truly can't control your temper, then there may be actually something else going on, like depression, substance abuse. I don't know how many people I see in couples therapy, and you know, so many of their fights almost always happen after a couple cocktails at night. Or some people do actually have a serious anger problem stemming from their childhood, stemming from, you know, some past pains and stuff. And if you think that any of these might apply to you, I strongly encourage you to seek help. Seek individual therapy, anger management, possibly medication if it's depression. before these issues destroy your relationship, because they will eventually destroy your relationship. If you truly do not have control of your anger, well, it's not only going to destroy your relationship with your spouse, it will destroy it with your kids, potentially your bosses, I mean, everything. So if you truly feel like you're in that rare category of you can't control your anger, then I really encourage you to get some help. So anyway, the second tip I want to give you is to help you stop fighting is to focus on the problem, not the person. And by that I mean, you know, most arguments get off track. They become personal very quickly and judgmental. Let me give you some examples. So instead of her saying, you hurt my feelings last night when you missed dinner and came home late, she usually says, you're so self-centered, you don't care how hard I work around here. You know, she makes it about him. And not realizing that she's actually hurt, he will respond with something like, you know, get off my back, you're such a nag. And, you know, you can see how this can go on all night long. And nobody's ever really dealing with the fact that he came home late and what they're going to do about it. So instead of focusing on the problem, the couple starts to focus on each other. And going back to my original statement, or her original statement, really, you hurt my feelings when you missed dinner last night, or actually, better yet, let me change that. My feelings were hurt when you missed dinner last night. And that way, do you guys see the difference? She's not blaming him from the get-go. It's not you did this. It's that my feelings were hurt. That makes a huge difference. And this allows the couple to deal with her hurt feelings. It offers, you know, gives them an opportunity to offer explanations. And oftentimes, you guys, there's a good and an honest explanation for why something happened. And it also gives them an opportunity to come up with a plan so it won't happen again. So, you know, she says, hey, my feelings got hurt last night. Then they can have a conversation about, oh, you know, I'm sorry, honey, I had to work late. Okay, well, can you call me when that's going to happen? Oh, sure. You know, it allows for a conversation. But if she comes out the gate with, you know, you did this and you're this and you're, you know, they're never going to get to the solution to the problem. So they're never going to come together and try and figure it out. So if they're able to do that, then the way that I recommend, then they can come to a solution and a plan without taking huge chunks out of each other by the fight. And then now she's heard about, you know, him missing dinner, and then she's heard about the fight, and then he's heard about, you know, just it piles on top of each other. So if you guys can learn to have those I statements, and you know, I go over all this, unfortunately, in, you know, my 10 minutes that I have allotted here, I can never really cover all of this. I do go over all of the best ways to have these kind of conversations in both the communication and the fighting sections in the Strong Marriage Now system. I talk about I statements and moments of grace, gracefully accepting a concession, the true meaning of compromise, and lots of other ways to find solutions to every problem as a team. So if you guys haven't looked at that yet, check out those sections so you can learn how to make any of your disagreements an opportunity to connect. And then you can really stop wasting your time on fighting and spend all of your time on getting together as a team and working on your relationship.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dana. Sure. Hey, I just have a quick follow-up question. So I know you you said that anger is always a cause of fear or pain. So what's the
result
best, or a result
pain.
Of fear or pain? So what's the best way to get on, like, what's causing that fear or pain, or to understand that with your spouse? Like, how would you?
You know, I think, again, if you give them that one, you know, again, that we talk about that a moment of grace, that, you know, if they lash out with, you know, ah, you did this or you did that, if you can take one breath and just say, hey, like, what's going on? Like, just that question, and a sincere question, not like, what's going on with you, but an honest, mm-hmm. hey, like, what's happening? Like, what are you feeling? Like, just give them that one chance to pause for a second and go, okay, well, what I'm feeling is, you know, and they could figure that out. But if you just dive right into the fight with them, again, then you're off to the races, and it doesn't tend to get solved. Though I will say, at any point in an argument, somebody can be the bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
At any point, somebody can stop and say, wait, what's really happening? What really hurt your feelings? What are you really upset about? So even if you don't get that question in at the very beginning, if you get hooked into the fight, and either one of you can be the bigger person and end that at any time by actually trying to care about what the other person is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is super helpful. Thanks for that clarification.
Sure.
So it is so great to be reminded of all those valuable tips. I know I practice that myself, not always as perfectly implemented, but it's super, super helpful. So now it's time for you to get to talk to Dr. Dana and ask your questions. So here's how it's going to work. She's going to spend about 3 to 5 minutes per question so that we can get to as many people as possible, and we got lots and lots of you on the phone today. Those of you guys on past calls have been great about diving right in and asking your question. So if you want to get in line to ask your question, just press star 2 on your phone. If you've dialed in, or if you're one of the many that have just called in on the webcast page, the monthly call event page, on the left-hand navigation, you'll see a place to ask your question. So you'll just click on that link and then type in your question. And then when it's your turn, what I'm going to do if you're one of the people dialing in is I will identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and then I'll ask you to state your first name and your question once you're unmuted. And I see that lots of people have raised their hands, so that's fantastic. I do want to let you know that sometimes the webcast questions lead to follow-up questions after you hear from Dr. Dana. But unfortunately, because we're trying to help as many of you guys as possible, we can't answer those follow-up questions on the same call. But feel free to call back next month or use the forum to get your follow-up question answered. So let's go to the caller ending in 9644. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hi, my name is George. Presently, my marriage is in a disarray. I found out last week for certain that my wife was having a soulmate type affair.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I ran into the other man's wife who worked in the same building. Didn't know that. I found out the next day that she was in the same building. We spoke. She confronted her husband, and he confessed as well. She had suspected, the other man's wife also had suspected something was going on. So basically both wayward spouses have, you know, this soulmate affair going on, and the other spouse, if you will, they claim that they're going to work on a relationship and cut off all communications, but we the injured spouses, fear that they're not going to end their relationship.
Right.
You know, she's got transparency, according to her, that she's got access to the password, but she fears that he's going to delete text, phone messages, this, that, and the other. My wife says she basically thinks we only have a 10% chance of surviving our marriage.
Right.
She wants to go to individual therapy, but she's not ready for couple therapy yet.
Why not?
Good question. That's just it. I asked her, well, what's wrong? And she says, I'm unhappy. I'm not happy. He makes me happy. She's giving me vague answers. She won't tell me what's the reason.
Well,
she doesn't think I – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if the individual therapist does have a lot of experience with infidelity, then that would be very helpful, because the individual therapist will be able to tell her that affairs are like a drug and you're simply self-medicating and you need to learn, you need to figure out how to be happy in your own. I mean, a good individual therapist and one that's very supportive of marriage would be a good idea. I got to say, there's a lot of therapists out there that, are almost in support of divorce and are like, oh, well, you're unhappy, you have to seek your bliss, you have to, and they don't necessarily encourage that. So to me, it kind of depends on that therapist. History and recommendations, and if they have, again, a lot of experience with infidelity, because a bad therapist can totally undo your marriage and a good therapist can save it. So I know that that's a lot of pressure, but I would maybe want to talk to them ahead of time and ask their opinion on that.
So I should find out who she's seeing and talk to the therapist prior?
Yeah, she hasn't picked a therapist yet. Yeah, you should absolutely try and pick a therapist that really, really can focus on being pro-marriage and helping her realize the reasons that she was having the affair and how she could possibly work out and get those needs met in her own marriage. So that could really help, or it could really hurt. I know that's not good news, depending on the therapist. The other thing I wanted to tell you, though, based on what you just told me, is I recognize that it's instinctual to want to try and become hyper-focused on does she have contact, does she not have contact, and while that's certainly important that you want to encourage her to end all contact, you don't want that to be your number one focus of conversation. You don't want that to be your number one focus of what you are working on in your relationship. So,
uh-huh.
More so your conversations need to be about what she needs to be happy now, what she needs to be happy in the marriage, why does she think that she went down that road in the first place, and is there a way to provide that between the two of you? Those are the kind of conversations you need to be having, more so than did you call him, can I see your phone, let me check your emails, because if you get too involved in that, then literally she's comparing this new, responsibility-free, quote-unquote, what you call soulmate relationship to drama, pain, blame, shame, and that's that other relationship is always going to win out.
Doing any of that. I'm giving her space, actually. I haven't even asked her about if she's seeing. We just feel that that's what they're doing behind her back.
Good idea. They may be, but instead you need to be having conversations about what she needs from you, where you guys got off track, what does she think is happening with her in her life. And, again, you know, wanting to be involved in her therapy as soon as she's allowing you, wanting to help and support, and her, you know, letting her know that you're willing to give her or try to give her and try and create the life that she would want to stay in this relationship. And then also trying to educate her a little bit. You know, 50% of marriages are affected by affairs, but only 17% break up because of them. So 10% number's pretty far off, actually.
Yeah, I gave him that, you know, the whole 10%, you know, survive and 3/4 of that actually end up in divorce. She really have a 2.5% chance of this working out.
No.
The sad thing is,
statistically, she's not right. you know, so she, guys do have a shot to work it out and a shot to be happy again, and just kind of letting her know that, you know, that you're willing to do the work, you're willing to try and help with whatever it is you can and create the relationship that will make her happy. Have those kind of conversations as much as possible. So, you know, give her space about that stuff, but you know, don't give her too much space. Don't just let her sort of wallow in that. Let her know that you're there and you're willing to work on it right now. Okay?
Well, I've been doing that. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right, thank you. All right, the next caller we're going to go to ends in 8668. As of the last four digits, you are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hi, Dr. Dana. It's Wendy. And I have a question for you. About 2 months ago, my husband announced with great anger that he was done and he was going to move out that day. We've been married 20 years. We dated for 11 before. We have three kids, 14, 15, and 16. I did convince him to stay because my 15-year-old is in a hugely precarious emotional and mental state, and I knew he would be devastated if he left. He's agreed to stay for him. He's also agreed to try to see if there is some way to reignite the spark, as he says.
Okay.
But he's not giving forth much effort other than he does come home. He's still really, really angry and reacts to me with extreme anger. And
you know what he's angry about?
He's angry about how our relationship has gone over the years. It has not been good for quite a while, probably because he's so volatile. So his anger, I shut down. We just disconnected. I know we can reconnect. We've been best friends. He thinks we work together. I've stepped out of work since then. We started a business from scratch together about 12 years ago. That really has hurt the last 2 years. He thinks it has nothing to do with that. Or the financial stress that we've had the last few years because of the business.
I know
it has a lot to do with that, but I can't seem to get past the anger with him for him to realize that his anger means he's not out.
Right. I understand that. But are you, are you doing kind of all the things that we suggest in the system? Have you made the adjustments that we talk about? Because, you know, you really can make a huge difference all on your own.
I have made, I would say, 99% adjustment.
Okay.
I'm not perfect.
No.
But, I at the same time he was telling me he was leaving, I had already written a very long letter to him that I was going to give to him when we went out to eat that Sunday to tell him, look, things have got to change. I've got to back out of the business. I've got to focus on me so we can reconnect.
Have you apologized, sincerely apologized for the things that he blamed you for?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And
well, it sounds like kind of,
kind
of like what we talked about, what I was talking about at the beginning of this conversation, which is she's sort of righteously hanging on to his anger. Almost as if he's scared, really, that if he lets go of it, then he's going to get his feelings hurt again, or he's, you know, it's not going to fail, you know, so on and so forth. So, my advice to you is you're sort of in an okay situation in that he's agreed to stay, and I think what he needs to see now is some long-term changes on your part, some long-term peace in the house, some long-term laughter and love and easygoingness and, you know, something like that. So, because he just believes it's going to go right back to the way that it was before. And he's really holding on to that to some degree. So I guess my advice to you, and I know this is so tough, is to hang on. You've got him in the house. You've got him staying there. And then to just, you know, do everything that you've learned, all the stuff, you know, all the communication things you've learned, all the things that we talked about in the system, and really and stay calm during those times. And even if he blows, like, kind of stay calm during, you know, all of that stuff. And as he sees that, you know, you're no longer jumping in the ring with him, you guys aren't going through your old patterns, he's not able to get you to shut down or fight back or any of those things again, he will start to slowly but surely see, like, wow, this could actually be good. We could actually have a good life together again. My other question is he willing to spend any time with you?
Very little.
So if you arrange for a date night, he won't go?
Well, depending on what kind of mood I catch him in, yes, possibly, or no. I do catch him calling me during the day. He never used to.
Okay.
He has invited me to lunch. We're having pleasant lunches. And then the next day, he's like, I just can't take it anymore. I got to leave.
Yeah, what's going to happen? And I need you to be patient with that. What's going to happen is he's going to take lots of 3 steps forwards and 2.5 steps back. So because he'll get scared as he starts to let his guard down. So go ahead and keep arranging that time. Keep arranging fun times. Don't talk about heavy stuff during those lunches. Don't talk about what he's doing wrong and how things need to change. You know, talk about the kids and talk about something that makes you laugh and a great movie that you saw. Or, you know, just talk about easy and light stuff. And expect that the next day. Just breathe through it. That's what's going to happen. But he's still taking a half a step forward by going in the first place. So,
Can I ask you one more, real quick? But at night, he is connecting more than ever, but then he's furious about it. He says, really, it's just I'm a warm body.
Yeah, no, you're not. he's just trying to backpedal. So you keep being loving and open to that and really enjoy that time with him. And, yeah, the next day he's going to sort of try and push back, but you'll find that happens less and less. So do not don't really believe him, and you know, and even if he says those mean things, you can say, well, that's not what it was for me. I love you, and it was wonderful last night for me. And like, that's all you can let him sort of know. He's just pushing back because it's actually working. So that's a good sign. I know it's painful. So just kind of work, you know, push past it and stay on course. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. We're gonna go to our next caller. Ending in 9684, you are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
Yeah, hi. My name is Paul. It's kind of a two-part question. A couple of months ago, my wife and I have had problems in our marriage for, you know, every 3 or 4 years. We've been married 17 years now. A couple of months ago, she told me she was unhappy and wanted to leave. I found she had some text, very graphic text, from somebody she had met on a business trip about 6 months ago. They had an affair. Due to the distance, they couldn't keep up the affair, but the text went on. And, you know, I confronted her with it, and she admitted to it, and she also admitted that, you know, back in 2009, she had also had an affair. Mm. And so... You know, I was pretty furious, but, you know, over time I calmed down. I kind of, you know, reevaluated what was going on, and, you know, I did see a lot of problems that I was bringing, and, you know, things that she'd been telling me over the years, but that I had not really, you know, I heard but didn't pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I asked her, you know, can we just take 6 months? Let me try to get my in order, and mm-hmm. you know, let's see how things work out. And she agreed to that, and she broke off. Contacted this other guy that she was seeing. So things have definitely gotten better, you know, but whenever I have a conversation about it, it gets a little painful. You know, she either says that she just misses, you know, she dated a lot of people before we were married, and she kind of misses that uniqueness, you know, the meeting new people and, you know, kind of the sexual excitement of a new relationship and all that.
That's normal.
And you know, she's asked either, you know, maybe we can do a, you know, kind of hall pass kind of thing, which obviously I can't agree to.
Right.
And, you know, but over the past couple of months, you know, definitely things have gotten better between us and warmed up. You know, I've definitely made changes myself. I guess two things is, you know, one, given that she has this need for new things, you know, and seems to be pervasive in her, you know, new car, new house, whatever, mm-hmm. new relationships, how do I trust her moving forward? And then over the couple of months that I've been making changes, I've kind of been losing my desire to continue it. You know, I'm kind of like, well, you know,
right.
why should I continue with this if
right. Well, okay, a couple different things. One is that her desire for newness is there's certain people that just kind of require that all the time, a certain level of excitement. And I guess one of the ways to trust her in that is to have conversations with her about how you guys can create that in the marriage. How you can create, you know, again, I talk about couples who take up a sport together, take up whitewater rafting, take up skydiving, take up a political cause that they're passionate about, some way to create excitement and newness. Travel if you've got the funds, you know, anything that you guys can do together that fuels that part of her. So she doesn't need to go seek it out in relationships. She doesn't have to get that new need met with another person. She can have that in her own life. She needs to kind of be honest with herself and see, you know, why her own life isn't being fulfilling. And I, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, she needs to, you know, take off and move to Egypt or something, but you can create new and exciting adventures in your own backyard, in your own neighborhood, in your own town. So, I would really start to brainstorm with her about being honest with herself about that need for her, not blaming herself for it, and then figuring out a way to meet it and while still being able to stay faithful. And the other thing too is it is rather normal actually to have a backlash of the, oftentimes I find people don't break up because of the affair. They break up because the other person kind of loses. They can't get over it, and then they're the ones that walk away. And so I guess I'm going to encourage you to remember that you can have a fulfilling and loving relationship again with this person. You can fall back in love with her, even better actually than you guys were before. And chances are, if she was bored, you were bored too. So again, think about kind of a different type of relationship. What you don't want to do is go back to the relationship that you had. And so when you're thinking like, maybe I don't want this, I don't blame you. You don't want what you had. What you guys had wasn't working. But think about what you could have. Think about a relationship you could build together and a relationship that you could, create that's exciting and new and fun and adventuresome, you know, until you're like, you know, 95 years old. You guys could do all sorts of great things. So, really, when you're considering staying or leaving, don't consider you're staying with the same thing. Consider that you possibly, you know, creating this new relationship, and then give that a shot. Give that 6 months to a year to grow into fruition, and then see, is this the life that I'm enjoying? Do I love this woman? Am I having fun now? And then make that decision. So it's too early for you to decide one way or the other. So I would really start to brainstorm with her about, you know, hey, I love this part of you, this new adventuresome. You got to have it. So let's make sure we get it in our relationship and we can both have some more fun. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sure.
Excellent. I'm going to just jump over real quick to a webcast question.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from Steve, and he asks, how do I work with a spouse who is just focusing on the negative items from the past and essentially building up a negative ball of energy, which makes it very difficult to move forward?
Well, there's a couple different thoughts on that. I don't have Steve on the phone. But I will say, I've said before, even on this call, I think, that people have a hard time moving past old hurts and old pain and old things that have gone wrong if they don't feel like you ever truly got it, if you feel like you've truly apologized for it, if they feel like you it's going to happen again or it continues to happen, then they can't get past the past, as it were. They have to continually bring it up because they feel like it's still going on or that you didn't really understand it. People bring up stuff from 20 years ago. If you just said, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, all right, let's move forward, no, not going to cut it. We have a whole section on forgiveness that you would have received in the Strong Marriage Now system, hopefully, that you purchased, that explains how to give a real apology, how to help somebody really feel like you understand it and you get it. It's also in the communication section, I believe, of the system where we talk about, you know, truly having that aha moment, and that's when people can let stuff go. In general, if she's having a hard time with focusing on the negative, if that's just her personality, then that might be something that she kind of needs to work on her own. It's possible, and you can help with that. You can help with, you know, this sounds all kind of woo-hoo-y, but you can help with focusing on the positive, learning to have a good attitude about something, reminding everybody in the family that their mood is their choice, and you're choosing to be in a good mood today. So you can really model choosing to look for the silver lining, choosing to see the glasses half full, And then also, you know, going over some books yourself. Hey, honey, I really want to read this book. There's a great book by Byron Katie called Loving What Is. There's a great, you know, there's a great book by Gay Hendricks called The Big Leap. There's, you know, maybe reading those books and sharing those with her. I'm not saying, look, you read this, you need to read this, but really going over them yourself and then living those principles. And, you know, that can make a huge difference. But my guess is probably she's not letting go of the past because she doesn't really feel like you ever really got the past. So check out those two sections and really try and have that aha moment and offer that sincere apology, and I bet she'll be able to move forward.
Excellent. We're going to unmute caller ending in 8080. When I click on the button here, there we are. You're now unmuted. If you could state your name and your question, please.
Hi, this is Steve, and actually you just responded to my webcast question about the negative ball of energy, so I appreciate your comments. I will pursue that avenue.
All right. Okay, Steve. Good luck with that.
And I just wanted to weigh in. The Happiness Advantage is an awesome book on positive energy, too. I can't remember the name of the author right now, but it's got a yellow smiley face cover. If you search on Amazon for The Happiness Advantage, that's a really great resource, too.
Yeah, so those three books. Check them out. Read them. Live them, and it should make a huge difference in your relationship.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. And if anybody else wants to raise their hand, we still have a few more people still raising their hand, but if anybody else on the call wants to raise their hand, star 2 on your phone, and also feel free to type in your question on the webcast. The caller ending in 8934, you are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
My name is Noelle.
Hi, Noelle.
My husband has decided that he would prefer to be with the affair partner, and he has cut off all contact. He is angry that he will not, he's blocked text, he does not answer my calls, he does not answer my emails, he filed for divorce. I've had to file for divorce in California because he filed in Texas, and I had no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Things are really, really ugly and hostile. I want to reconcile my marriage, but he wants nothing to do with me. Any suggestions?
It's strange. It's a strange suggestion, and it's to back off, but start focusing on you personally becoming the best woman that you know how to be. Start making, and it sounds strange, but start making yourself happy, fulfilled, in a physical state that you're happy with and comfortable with. Living your life in a way that makes, and honestly, this sounds so silly, but make all of your choices about what makes you glow, if that makes sense, and what makes you happy, because that in and of itself is going to be, you know, given the chance to see him again, and if he runs into you, or if you guys have kids and you have to pass, you know, each other in that regard, that's what's going to be make you the most appealing. I have helped many a couple get remarried, believe it or not, after a divorce, and even after I have a couple in counseling right now that I'm actually seeing their kids is why they're in counseling, but they got remarried after they'd been divorced for 4 years, and the other person had been in another relationship for 3. But later, you know, I'm not saying it's going to take that long, but my point is, or that you should wait around that long, but I'm saying that I'm really going to ask you to actually stop focusing on him, to do that whole, because sometimes people push back because they're feeling like you're grasping, like you're holding on. So that age-old, as silly as it sounds, that age-old, if you love something, set it free thing, open your arms, focus on you, really learn to make yourself happy and yourself fulfilled and yourself, in, you know, get your life into a place that you are satisfied. And that will be, if now one of two things will happen, and I have to be honest with you about this, either it'll make you very, you know, attractive to him and possibly your feelings will be there, or you're going to be in such a state, in such a happy place that you're actually going to attract somebody else and not want anything to do with him. So in either case, you win. In either case, you're going to be better off by actually just not calling him, not texting him, letting him go, and really working on you. You're going to benefit either way. It's kind of your only choice at this point. There's nothing you can do to really, you know, get him back involved. Other than, I mean, I don't know if you've checked out the checked out partner series. That might be a last-ditch attempt. But if he's wholly enmeshed in this new relationship, I would really kind of step back and just work on you.
Well, I have done that. The only contact I've had with him was I had to call him for an emergency because we had a child in a crisis in the hospital. And
oh, my God.
He didn't respond. Well, it wasn't a child. It was a grandchild, but he didn't respond.
Ugh. Okay, well then you have to ask yourself the question of, I'm sorry, this is mean, but why do you want to stay together with a man that would not respond to a crisis in the hospital?
Married forever. Married for 31 years, and this just doesn't seem like him. He seems completely out of character, but I don't know, maybe his character has changed.
Well, if you think it's out of character, then I'm still going to go with my original recommendation and leave yourself open to that. You guys will cross paths again. You know, affairs are very addictive, and he could just be kind of in the throes of this addiction and not really sane, honestly. But those sort of things tend to flare themselves out. Affair relationships have a very low success rate. And they tend to sort of burn themselves out. So again, if you can focus on you and being happy and loving your kids and your grandkids and liking your life, and if you happen to have your heart available when he comes out of the fog, you might want to consider giving him another chance at that point. But in the meantime, I would recommend not kind of chasing him anymore. That's actually just going to push him away and push him towards that partner. So really focus on yourself and start to enjoy your life again. And that's going to make you the most attractive to anybody, really. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's a tough one there.
Yeah.
The next caller is 5864. You are now unmuted. Please state your name and question.
Hi, my name is Stacy. My husband works pretty much all the time, and I never get to see him. And it seems like all he ever wants from me is to take care of the house and the kids and be intimate, and I feel very disconnected. I frankly feel used,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to live like this, but I don't know what else to do.
And you've told him all this?
Not in those words, but yes.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I can't be that blunt. I'm having a hard time just saying that. I try and bring it up a different way, and it just...
Yeah, so many times, though, I got to say, I don't know how many, and it happens all the time in this business. We get calls all the time from these men who tell us, like, my wife left last week, and I don't know why. Like, was she unhappy? You know, did she tell you? Well, every once in a while she'd kind of allude to the fact that she wanted me to work, but, God, I'm so shocked. I mean, honestly, sometimes they really, really, really don't understand what you're feeling. I know that it's tough to be blunt. I know that it might cause some friction. I know that that's really tough. But he deserves to know that you are considering not actually being married anymore, and that's a big deal. This often catches men off guard, they hear some of our complaints is just sort of like, oh, you know, I'd rather that you were home more often. I'd rather that, but they don't hear like I'm about done. They really don't, and you do have to be very blunt about that and let him know. And the other thing, too, just I wanted to tell you, you know, maybe you've heard some of my information on sex and stuff like that. Him coming home and intimacy for him is his way of connecting with you. That is how men do connect. So it's not entirely – I know it's not how you connect, and I respect that, but the little time that he has with you, if he's spending that trying to make love to you, that is how he connects. That is how he feels – loved and attached and like he's okay and that you guys are safe. So the fact that you're still having intimacy means to me that he is still connected to you and he doesn't actually probably know what's going on. So, I would really, really start having some honest and straightforward conversations. If you really find that you shut down in those situations, write him a letter. If you really find that that you sort of freeze up and you can't actually express how you really feel, write it all out for him. And, you know, and let him know you love him and you want this marriage to work, but that you are really, really not happy with the way things are going right now and something has to change. And then propose what you would like to change. Give an option. So instead, you would like to go back to work, for a little bit. Or it's so instead you need him to, you know, we'd like to, this is drastic, but we want to sell one of the cars or switch the kids to different schools so he can afford to work. Like, come up with some ways that could work out for you guys. And tell them what you want to have happen. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Really tell him the truth. He'll be okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. I'm going to skip over to a webcast question again. This one comes from Matt, and he says, my wife is an executive at a big company and works all the time and does emails and vent. She won't talk to me about our relationship. She just wants to talk about the kids and work. I lost my temper, and things got ugly between us. Now she won't let me sleep in the same bed with her. She says she doesn't want a divorce, but I don't want a marriage like this. What can I do to get her to love me again?
Aw. Well, it sounds like she's using work to kind of shut down and to stay away from you. And, you know, I know that she's not letting you sleep in the bed right now, but will she I don't have you on the phone, but will she go out to dinner with you? Will she go for a walk with you? Will she go to the park with you and the kids? Try to get her reconnected to you sort of in a more of a roundabout way than coming right at her, you know, and coming, you know, and I understand that you don't want to live your life that way, but just letting her know that you love her, that you're not going anywhere, don't threaten her, that you're not going anywhere, and that you really want to connect with her, that you miss her, and not coming at her with anger and blame and shame. It sounds like she's getting a lot of her needs met through her office and through her identity as an executive, like she's getting a lot of her positive reinforcement there. So I got to wonder, was she getting any of that from you before? Was she not getting that from her marriage? Was she, you know, why is that one of her, why is that currently her primary source of self-esteem? And is there a way for you to kind of reconcile or to resolve that, I mean, and to really kind of get some of her needs met other places? The other thing, too, is, you know, maybe she'd be open to watching the system with you because it's very, very short. She can watch it in bed on her computer. And, you know, maybe she's like, look, honey, can you just watch these videos with me? Some of them take 3 minutes. Some of them take, you know, 10 minutes. But they're very short. They're very informative. And hopefully, you know, you can maybe get her hooked with just a short time commitment in working on the marriage again and maybe getting hopeful again. So I would recommend trying to get her from that side and then also trying to see if she can find any time to enjoy you and the family and not talk about all the problems and not talk about the fact that you're in separate rooms and not talk about all that stuff, but really see if she can get some of her needs met from the marriage again. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else wants to raise their hand, *2 is the way you do that, and also feel free to keep typing in those webcast questions. We have time for a few more, so do so. We're going to go to the caller ending in 4449. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question.
Hi. Excuse me. My name is Mike. It's my second marriage for both my wife and I. We've been together for about 4 years, and lately we've just been really fighting a lot about the kids. It's actually her kids from previous marriage. She has two kids. They're 13 and 8, but the 13-year-old is really kind of a troublemaker. She doesn't discipline him as well as she should, and so there's been a lot of fights about that. I try not to come down too hard on him just because he's, you know, I'm not his dad, so I don't want him to feel like I'm trying to take that role. But
good.
I don't know. It's just getting to be very tense situation at home, just because she really won't put her foot down. Like, he just talks back to us. He mouths off, and if we ask him to do something simple like taking out the garbage, he makes it a big fight. And it's just kind of I mean, everything else about the marriage is pretty good, but it's just kind of a roadblock that we're trying to figure out how to get past.
Well, I have a couple different thoughts on that. One is your instincts aren't wrong and that you don't want to come down too hard on him. However, you can come down hard on him about his mom's rules. And I know this is a fine distinction, but it really matters. If you and his mom sit down, you and his mom and him, and you say, okay, here's your chores. You take out the trash. You have to have a, you know, be average or above. You know, you can't speak disrespectfully to either one of us. You have to be nice to your brother. You know, whatever it is. Okay, these are the rules. Mom's rules for her son. Okay? And everybody agrees on the rules, and he says, yeah, okay, I agree on the rules. At that point, you can not get mad, let me back up again. And then mom says, you and mom figure this out on herself, even if she can't do it, you guys agree with, and so if you don't do those, then we're going to take your phone, or you're going to have extra chores this weekend, or you're not going to be able to, you know, whatever, go to your friend's house, whatever it is. Moms are, yeah, video games, that always works, right? So, you know, we'll take those away because we love you and because we want to teach you and because it's our job to make you a responsible, kind, and wonderful person, not because we're mad at you or we don't like you or none of that. We love you, and we have to teach you how to be a nice, healthy, grown man. So once that's established and he's seen that that's mom's rules, mom's consequences, at that point you are simply the messenger. And if she can't be, you can be that. You can't say, you come home and you find that he left food on the coffee table and you randomly say, that's it, you're grounded for a week. That's a bad idea. That's going to cause problems with you. But if you say to him, hey, buddy, one of your chores is to clean up the living room before we get home from work and that's not done, so let me look at the list. Oh, it looks like, you know, you're not going to have your phone this weekend. So if you can be, you can help with mom's rules. You can help with, because a kid won't see the step-parent as a parental role until half their age when they got married. So if you got married, let me see, so 4 years ago, he was 9. He's not going to see you till about 15 or 16 as a parental role in his life. But you can be, and this is such an insulting term, but I don't mean it this way. You can be like the babysitter. Like a babysitter would say, hey, dude, like your mom said you had to get your homework done tonight, so you're going to get your homework done tonight, and you're not going to turn on the TV until you do. You're not being the parent. You're helping him and helping his mom parent him. So you can be that role in that relationship, and that tends to work much better. She has to be on board with whatever the consequences are, but you can be the one to kindly and lovingly say, oh, hey, buddy, wow, you didn't take out the trash. Okay, well, so then here's the consequence that we've already decided on. He already knew was going to happen, you know, and you're not then the bad guy.
And the system is already in place.
Because it's already in place, and again, you're coming from a place of, I love you, we have to help you grow into a good man, we're not going to let you, you know, we don't want to fight with you for the next 5 years that you're home, so we're going to set up these rules because we care about you. You know, discipline is love, you know. So if you come from that place and you recognize that you're going to uphold the rules that you and his mom came up with for his sake, you can absolutely get involved in that kind of relationship with him.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. We're going to go to the caller ending in 2662. If you could state your name and question, please.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. My name is Rose, and my question is, I've been in a 35-year relationship, and the last 3 years have been really bad because I haven't been able to find work, and I used to work for my husband, and I haven't been able to forgive him because we were in a partnership, and while I was gone visiting my daughter in Texas, he hired someone else to run the business.
Wow.
Okay, and there was no discussion on it. It was a huge, huge wound. And since then, I've been trying to find my own new work and job, and I haven't been able to because there's none around here.
Right.
And so it's not like I'm the one that's wanting to leave because I'm feeling disrespected, and it's a huge wound, and I've tried lots of stuff to heal that, and I'm trying to develop my own separate identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our kids are all grown in their late 20s. And my question is, you know, I don't know, how do I forgive and move on, I guess is the question.
Does he see anything wrong with what he did? Does he have an explanation for what he did? Like, what is his side of that story?
His side is that I was angry, but he has an old pattern when he gets upset and angry about anything to threaten a divorce, and that was happening back then. And he doesn't realize how damaging that was, even though he would apologize a day later or 2 days later.
Right.
And that stems from his childhood abuse from his dad when he was 10. His mom walked in and threatened to divorce his dad. And I think that's like a real deep unconscious thing that when he gets upset, he does that.
And but he doesn't mean it, right? That. I mean,
He always says he doesn't mean it, but it still puts me into a fear mode.
Well, one of the ways that you're going to have to kind of move past and be able to forgive him is to, I mean, it sounds like you're really, really trying already, but get to a place where you sort of recognize, you know, the age old, this was meant to be. Like, this is to not tell yourself. Oh, again, I already mentioned that book today. Great book. Try and check it out, from Byron Katie. It's called Loving What Is. And basically the point is, you know, getting to a place where you can understand that the situation that you're in now is a situation that you're supposed to be in because you are. And to stop telling yourself kind of stories about I'd be happier if I was still doing this, and I'd be better if I was still doing that, and if we could only, because those stories are making you unhappy and you're really at a different place in your life. Do you generally like your marriage outside of this whole work dilemma thing?
Yeah, in general, yeah.
Okay, well then that's the good news too. So there he does bring a lot to the relationship. You are happy with many, many other of his parts.
Yeah.
And that, you know, kind of makes a big difference. And so I would also really try and focus a lot on those as you're sort of working, looking for work and looking on getting your own life and looking, you know, all that other stuff that you're doing right. And I applaud you for all that. Really amping up, you know, if he makes you laugh, creating more opportunities to laugh. If you guys like to garden together, garden, you know, all the things that you do like about him, really trying to spend a lot more time focusing on that sort of stuff. And then also kind of philosophically getting to a place, again, if you can check out that book, philosophically getting to a place where you are okay with where your life is right now. Because you're not wrong. If you can't forgive him, it's going to be really difficult to spend the next 30 years together, right? It's going to be really difficult to get to a place and enjoy your life. And then that's going to be your choice, interestingly enough, not his. You're going to choose to stay in a place of anger and resentment. And you know, that's not necessarily going to be good for you. But Maya Angelou says, resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So,
right.
You know, you being angry and resenting him for the next 30 years is going to hurt you. So for your own benefit, you know, getting to a place of peace about this, getting to a place of acceptance and a recognition that it's supposed to be is probably going to be your best bet. And the fastest way I know how to do that is to read that book. So I check that out.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Our next caller ends in 3399. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please. Oops. Hold on
question.
A second. Try that again. Sorry.
Hi.
I didn't unmute you properly.
I'm
can
sorry.
You try that again?
Yeah. You can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Steve Moore from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dana, I have a question. My wife is pretty feisty usually when you have any kind of arguments or fighting. You know, no physically fight, just arguments. And she finds it really difficult to forgive, kind of resentful occasionally. And how do we deal with that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the reasons that people hold on a lot of times to their anger is they feel like, I mentioned in the call today, they feel very righteous in that anger. They feel there's sort of a power that comes from that. And sometimes if you messed up, you know, honestly messed up about something, your partner might find it difficult to forgive because she kind of wants to hold on to that just a little bit longer, hold on to that power, hold on to that because, you know, she has something you want, right? She has your forgiveness. And so that puts you in kind of a one-down position. It puts you into a vulnerable position. And there's probably a part of her that likes to feel that power for a little while. And my question is then to look at an overarching, I mean, my point is to look at an overarching, why is that? Why is it, what is there a power differential in the relationship? Are you too powerful of a person? Do you not give her power often enough that when she does finally get that she wants to hold on to it so often? So there's something that you could do in that regard. And then the other thing I would like to point out, and I said that to another couple callers today, is an effective apology. Sometimes we're just not sincerely really reaching the other person. They don't feel like you're really getting to a place of an honest, sincere, hey, I'm really sorry I hurt you. Sometimes it's like, okay, I'm sorry, but you did this, this, and this. And okay, fine, I'm sorry. Like, let's just move on. Like, a lot of times people say they're sorry, but they're not really. They're not really imparting true regret and true compassion to how it made that other person feel. So sometimes people hold on to apologies or forgiveness because they want the power. And sometimes they hold on to forgiveness because they just don't feel like the person got it, and they just don't feel like the person sincerely regrets what they've done or has a plan not to do it again. So I would look at both those two equations and see if you can't help her with giving that forgiveness a little bit sooner.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. We got one last webcast question, and then we'll be wrapping it up today. So this one comes from Alice. She asks, my husband is going through a midlife crisis. He told me he doesn't love me anymore and we haven't had sex for 3 months. From what I've read about midlife crisis, it seems that the more you push, the more they retreat. I'm at a loss because I don't want to push him away any farther, but it seems that when men go through this crisis, everything is on their timetable.
That is in part true. and in part kind of does need to be on their timetable. Midlife crisis means a whole host of things for me, and I wish I had you on the phone because there's a couple questions I want to ask you. And the primary one, given what you said one of the symptoms was your husband having any sexual dysfunction leading up to this? Many times men can have some problems going on basically with sexual function, and they shut down because the idea that they are, you know, and sometimes it's just normal aging, you know, men don't necessarily have the same stamina or the same abilities that they did when they were 19, and they have a real time, hard time psychologically with that. And so sometimes they'll shut down sexually rather than deal with potentially not being able to perform up to the standard that they had hoped. So the fact that you said we haven't had sex in 3 months, that's one of my red flags for me, and I would want to get that checked out. Again, kindly and lovingly, not while you're in the bedroom saying, you know, you're concerned for his health. Has he had a checkup lately? Is he having heart problems? Did he start a medication? So on and so forth. So the fact that the sex life has shut down kind of quickly and for such a short time, that's kind of the place I go there first. And again, men find that I've had men get divorced rather than actually deal with their physical symptoms in that area, because it's just too difficult for them to deal with. So handle that carefully and lovingly and gently, but that is a conversation you probably need to have. Secondly, midlife crisis is interesting. A midlife crisis, by definition, means I look around at my life and I'm not happy. This isn't what I signed up for. I'm halfway through my life and I realize, I'm not doing what I thought I was going to be doing. I'm not happy with the way things are going. And so I would have, outside of the bedroom and outside of the subject, some conversations about that. What is it that you hoped, where did you hope to be when you were, you know, 50 years old? Where did you hope to, what did you hope to accomplish? What is it that you feel like you're not doing in your life that you really thought you would be doing in your life at 50 years old? And seeing, you know, some of those are beyond your control, like possibly finances or something, but some of them aren't. Maybe it was travel. Maybe it's, you know, I really thought that I'd have more time to myself. I really thought that I'd have more friends. I really thought that I'd, you know, be involved in sport. I mean, I don't know. Whatever his issues are, he's a midlife crisis means he's looked around and this isn't what he wanted. So what can you do about that in the relationship, and how can you help him get it? How can you help him get it between the two of you and also for himself personally? And that can make a huge difference in letting him know that you're willing to work with those things. You're willing to take a look at what he needs in his life, take a look at ways to make him happier and adjust and change, and that you want that for him and you, because, you know, you also don't want to be bored and all that. But then, you know, again, so I would check it out medically and then also emotionally and psychologically and see if you can't kind of get him back on board in both those areas.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all your help today, Dr. Dana, and everyone on the phone. We hope you found this time with Dr. Dana very valuable. If you've got more questions, please log in and use our private internet forum. And stay tuned for an email from us, because we'll be sending out a replay of this call, and it'll be available on the membership site. You can listen to it there or download it and listen to it on your phone or iPod or whatever. I also want to let you know to mark your calendar for the next call, which is going to be on June 18th at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. And the topic for next month is going to be, is it time to call it quits? And a question that we hear a lot is, can my marriage be saved, or is it time to walk away? And Dr. Dana is going to cover her answer to that critical question in next month's call. Now, I know that a lot of you guys have also asked to talk to Dr. Dana personally. So if you're interested in a one-on-one Skype or phone counseling session, or if you're in San Diego and you want to see Dr. Dana personally, you can learn more about that at strongmarriagenow.com/dr-dana-session, S-E-S-S-I-O-N. Or you can email us at support@strongmarriagenow.com, and we'll send you the info. And as you might imagine, she's super busy, but we're working on making her available as much as possible, but her calendar does fill up quickly, so don't delay, jump on the opportunity, and that URL again is strongmarriagenow.com/dr-dana-session, S-E-S-S-I-O-N. And thanks again for being with us today. We're honored to be able to help you. Hopefully you got the May magazine and the CD from last month. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And if you found what we do here at Strong Marriage Now valuable, we'd sure appreciate you inviting your friends and loved ones to join our email list, because we are committed to helping as many people as possible, and your referrals mean so much. So we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. I really always appreciate you putting your trust in me and letting me help you for just a moment with some of your issues. And those are some really good questions today. You know, I know there's some, just on a side note, some pretty heavy things going on in our country right now, weather-wise, I mean. So I hope everybody out there is safe, and I wish you a very good day, and I hope I helped. Thanks so much. All right, thanks, everybody.